I think that theologically, sometimes children have the best of it all. Sometimes we preach sermons from our pulpit that are very weighty in great and difficult words. As we read our scripture reading this morning, we came across a very weighty word. In our scripture reading this morning, you heard the word propitiation. Now, that's not a word that we all use every day in our vocabulary. Very seldom do I sit at the breakfast table and use the word propitiation. We'll talk about the word propitiation in a little bit. But what I really wanted to do is, before I talk about it, is give you an illustration of what that great and mighty word means. And not really by reading to you from Romans, but by reading to you a very simple children's story, an adaptation of one of Jesus' parables from a little book called The Parable of the Good Shepherd, called John and the Little Lost Lamb. And I wonder, Mike, if you can just hold that lamb steady while I read about him, okay? Inside the sheepfold, fast asleep, what do you see? 100 sheep. That little one is baby Baa, who loves to snuggle in a heap beside his brothers on the straw. The morning sun is peeking in to awaken baby Baa, who's been a dreaming of the meadow grass that grows up where the hills begin, right near the narrow mountain pass. Since now another day has begun, who comes along but Jonathan, the shepherd, who unlocks the door and counts each sheep to see that none is missing or is sick or sore. 100 strong, all safe and sound, come, greet the sun as out they bound. And little baby Baa runs too, his tiny hooves beat on the ground until he spies a plant to chew. The shepherd lets them frisk and play before he leads them on their way to meadows green, quite far from home. Good Jonathan knows every day just where it's best to graze and roam. At times it can be dangerous, as through the narrow mountain pass they walk along in single file. Now, baby Baa, don't be so mischievous. So John is watching all the while to see that wolves aren't there, about to spring from their lair. What's that? A lion sees the flock. The shepherd, with no time to spare, hurls his sling, a well-aimed rock. He hits the beast between the eyes. The lion falls. Stone still he lies. He's harmless now. Say, look ahead. Green, juicy grass. Oh, their spirits rise. And as they eat, John has his bread. His kindly eyes keep in full view his flock of sheep, who romp and chew or rest beneath the big tree's shade. Let's see what John's about to do. Why, he's playing sweet music on the flute that he has made. Now the hours go by. The sun sinks low. It must be time for them to go along the path for home again. The shepherd calls, and in a row he leads them downhill towards their pen. They reach the fold. The shepherd counts the sheep as through the door they bounce to find a soft spot on the straw. But wait, there is just 99. He frowns. Oh, where is baby Baa? How sad is our good shepherd John. One lamb is lost or strayed. It's gone. John's tired from tending sheep all day. But he must search uphill and down and find this lamb who's lost his way. John climbs back to the pasture ground, keeps calling, looking all around, until beyond the place they've stayed, he hears a little beat that sounds so low and faint and so afraid. You see, the lamb forgot and strayed from his good shepherd late that day. He did not hear John's call to come and get in line for walking home. And so Baby Ba had romped and played, but then he stumbled and tumbled down into a hole. Would he be found? The day turned slowly into night. No shepherd near. What was that sound? A jackal's howl? Ba froze with fright. Ah, but then another sound. His shepherd's voice. Above the wild beast's nighttime noise, Ba's gently lifted up by John. Oh, what happy reason to rejoice. So safe at last, all fear is gone. Once, back inside the snug sheepfold, the Savior, the shepherd, does not rant or scold, but soothes on olive oil to heal all Ba's deep scratches. And we're told it's done so kindly, Ba can feel it, how much his shepherd cares for him. One poor lost lamb, back home again. Thank you, Michael. You can take Ba back to your seat. What was all of that about? That was a definition of the word propitiation. The word propitiation means that we would be placed in an advantageous position by one stronger than we who cares about us. It's very interesting to note that in the sanctuary, in the most holy place of the sanctuary, was the Ark of the Covenant. And inside the Ark of the Covenant was God's law, 10 commandments that were expected to be kept. And if they were to be broken, punishment. Punishment that was unspeakable to think of, for it was eternal death. But praise God, this sanctuary was made with the ark in such a way that the mercy seat was on top of the law. The law was in the ark, but the mercy seat was on top of the law. Mercy covering the law. And interestingly enough, the mercy seat that is a part of the ark had another very official name. The mercy seat is called the propitiatory. The propitiatory, taken from the same root word propitiation, meaning that God's mercy covering the law puts us in an advantageous position with Him. It gives us the advantage. Complicated? Not complicated at all. It places us in a position where all of the things that we have done wrong in the past have been taken away by someone who is very strong and worthy, the Good Shepherd. We were lost in our sins. Lost. About to be devoured by Lucifer himself. And along came the Good Shepherd, who reached down into the pit of sin into which we were lost and lifted us to a place of advantage. A place of propitiation. That's what Paul is talking about. That Jesus Christ takes us and places us in a place of advantage with God. Not by any works of our own by which we may brag about. When little Ba got back to the fold, he couldn't brag to the other sheep about how brave he was. He couldn't brag to the other sheep that he had saved himself. He was saved by the Good Shepherd. It was a dark, howling night. The storm on the sea was very bad. It was so bad that the fishermen and the others in this boat thought that they were about to drown. When suddenly, behold, they saw something moving across the water towards them. And they thought it was the grim reaper coming to take them to their doom before they perished in the water. But as he came closer and closer, some of them recognized that it was not the grim reaper, but it was the master. And they called out, "Master, don't pass us by." And then it was Peter who's recognizing that Jesus was actually walking on the water, he leaps from the side of the boat, and he too starts walking on the water towards Jesus. And it suddenly sunk into him what he was doing. He, Peter, was walking on water. And he turned around to look at his comrades in the boat. Turned around to say, "Fellas, look at me." And he was instantly over his head, struggling, gasping for breath, realizing that he was about to perish. He looked back for Jesus to save him, and we're told that a great wave had come up between him, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." And the wave disappeared, and there was Jesus reaching out with his hand. And he brought him back to the surface and walked into the boat. I really believe that once they got back inside the boat, Peter did very little bragging. I doubt if there was any boasting at all on his part, because there was nothing for Peter to boast about. Can you look at our scripture passage in Romans with me now one more time? Romans chapter 3. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace, through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. That was to demonstrate his righteousness, not ours, his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of one who has faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law or works? No, but by a law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. When we are trying to earn our way, when we're trying even to contribute just a little bit, and it's so much a part of our nature to want to contribute just a little bit, we want to sacrifice something. Lord, please let me sacrifice something that I might know that I had a part in this thing. But wait a minute. What can we really sacrifice for God? What can we really give to him? 10% of our income? 20%? He holds the wealth of the universe in his hands. What is our piddly dollars to him? Lord, let me give you 20 years of my life in service for you, that I might have a part in payment. Oh, what is 20 years to the God who holds eternity in his hands? There isn't anything that you can give to him to make up payment. We respond to the Good Shepherd who comes and makes propitiation for us, lifting us out of the dark pit, placing us on vantage ground with God as a free gift of grace. And there must be no room for boasting on our part. No room. Some of us have often wondered what the Bible means when it talks about Jacob's time of trouble at the close of time. Jacob was in a bad spot. His brother-in-laws were coming to get him. His brother was coming to get him from the other side. Jacob was surrounded. All of Jacob's life, he had been able to figure out this way or that way to be able to save himself. But finally, Jacob was in a position where he could do nothing to help himself. And he was finally saved because he trusted in the Lord. And so before Jesus comes, we're told that God's people during the time of trouble, it's called Jacob's time of trouble, because we will be placed in a position where we will realize there is nothing we can do except trust the Master. Trust the Good Shepherd. Baby back couldn't get out of the pit. He could only allow the Good Shepherd to lift him. Peter couldn't swim back to the boat. He had to let the Good Shepherd take him by the hand and lead him back to the boat. And so this is what Paul is trying to say to us this morning in the last part of Romans chapter 3. That Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, is the propitiation for our sins, placing us on vantage ground with God. And there is no sacrifice that we can make that will begin to pay for it. But you say, I want to do something. Isn't there something I can do? What you can do is allow yourself to fall in love with Jesus Christ. And all of the works of the law that are covered by that propitiatory seat, the mercy seat, all of those works will be fruit in your life. Naturally, they will come. I won't steal. I won't kill. I won't commit adultery. I won't tell lies. I won't covet. Not because I am contributing towards my salvation, but because I'm already on vantage ground with God, and I'm in love with Jesus, and His love produces good fruits in my life, and I have nothing to boast about at all.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. American Christian Ministries is not a one-man band. It is an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.